The 24th verse is very connected with this verse, similar ideas. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhoktaccha prabhurevacha natu mam abhijananti tatve natascha vantite. So aham, so I, again when the Lord Krishna talks about I, he talks about the total consciousness, the Brahman, the I. He says aham, indeed, he means indeed, sarva yajna nam, of all the yajnas, bhokta cha prabhu reva cha, bhokta, I am the enjoyer of all the yajnas, bhokta means enjoyer, and I am the Lord, prabhu. So I am the Lord and I am the enjoyer. Cha means and. So I am the enjoyer and the Lord of all the yajnas. But na tu, but na tu. Tu means but. Na means no. Mam abhijananti. Those who do not know me. Mam me. Abhijananti means know me very well. Tatvena. Tatvena means know me in reality. Know the essence. Know what is the reality of me. Tatvena ta chavantite. Ata means then. Tatven ata chavantite. Ata, then those who do not know me, they perish, they return to this world of sorrow. So again, what he is talking is that whenever you do offer any yajna, you know, in those days, as he was saying, they offer yajnas to the Lord. You know, you're offering yajna for rain or for, you know, there is a famine, so for that. Or somebody wants a child, he doesn't have a child, so he does yajna or he does for his business. Or they do yajna to invoke a particular deity, you know, particular god. They say they offer, you know, abhishek for Lord Shiva or for Lord, you know, or whatever. Or you're doing mata ka, you know, jagran and all. So whatever offerings you are doing to any of these devotees, whatever yajnas, I am the enjoyer. Ultimately, all prayers reach me. That's what he says. And I am the Lord. I am the Lord of all the creative activities and of all the religious activities. Ultimately, they all go to that one consciousness. Everything reaches him. It is, as we said, but it is an indirect way. You could either invoke the Lord himself, or if it is hard to invoke the all-pervading consciousness, then you pick one form of the Lord, offer prayers to him, and I am the Lord and I am the enjoyer. So when you offer the, you know, grain in the fire and say swaha, swaha, and then you are, that's why the fire is worshipped in our scriptures, because they say the fire is the first element that you can see. Like space, we cannot see. You know, there's space, air, fire, water, and earth. Space, I cannot see. Air, I cannot see. Air, I can feel. Space, I can't even feel. But fire, I can see. So the fire is the transition. But also, when they offer in the fire is like the Federal Express. Just as when you give it to the Federal Express, it's guaranteed to be there next morning, 11 o'clock. So when you offer invocations in the fire carries them to that Lord of your choice. So he says, I am the enjoyer and I am the Lord of all the yajnas. And also when you invoke, when you get something from these prayers, actually you are getting the joy that is already within you. So I'd like to give an example. You know, my mind is at peace. Okay, I'm sitting quiet. Everything is fine. And then suddenly the desire comes. You know, my house is getting old. I need a new house. So then I, you know, start. I must need a house. I need a house. I need a house. House, 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 house. So now my silence is disturbed. My peace is disturbed. I was at peace, but now, no, I must have a house. So whether I have money or not, so somehow I arrange a loan and then I buy a land and then I go through the headaches of the contractor and the architect and dealing with the subcontractors and paying and all that. And then after years or 2-3 years of effort, I got my house. So again, my mind is at peace. Now, the mind, its nature is to be peaceful, because when we are in contact with the Lord, we are already peaceful. But that peace was disturbed. Why? Because this desire came in my mind to have a house. So, and when I got the house, then I say, I'm happy because I got the house. So we put our happiness in the house. Actually, it was that my mind was disturbed, and by getting that house, temporarily my mind became silent. Now I'm no longer, now I have my new house and I have my open house and everybody's happy and I'm. So I think that the house gave me happiness. Actually, happiness is already my nature. But by getting the house, my agitation was quietened, like a person wants to smoke. And, you know, he can't smoke at work, right? So 4 hours he cannot smoke, 8 to 12. And he wants cigarette. So then at 12 o'clock the bell rings, and then he can go out. He takes a puff and he thinks, the cigarette is giving me joy. The cigarette is only quietening your agitation. Your mind was already at peace, but then you got this disturbing thought that if I only got a cigarette, or it could be a chocolate, and if I only had a chocolate or an apple pie, I would be at peace. Or this position, you know, or this particular girl, if I marry her, you know, I'm so unhappy until I marry. So everything he does to try and get the girl and woo the girl. And then finally he marries and he says, I'm so happy because I married her. So we put happiness on objects, thinking that this object, this particular girl or this boy or this money or this food or this position or power gave me happiness. But it is that temporarily my agitation gets quietened. But then is my mind happy forever? No, I got a new house. Now I need a new car. And then now I need a better job because I have to pay the mortgage. So then I am struggling to get a better job, and then I'm competing with others and, you know, backbiting. So I get promoted because I have to pay the mortgage for the new house and the new car. So there is no end to the desires. I think Mahatma Gandhi said that there is enough for everybody's needs in this world, but there is not enough for even one person's wants. One person, huh? Greed, yeah, same thing. So the greed, so there is not enough. And that is the problem. Our nature is of the nature of peace, but the peace gets disturbed when the desire arises. And when the desire gets fulfilled, temporarily the mind becomes at peace until the next desire arises. So the peace was already my true nature. I am at the nature of peace, but my peace gets disturbed because of the desire. And when the desire gets fulfilled, I say, I'm so happy. So I ascribe happiness to that cigarette or that chocolate or that job or that person, that by this person I became happy. So he says that I am your true nature, but when you look for happiness outside, and that is what makes you dependent, then I become dependent on cigarettes or food or position or person, or that only if I have this person in my life I'll be happy, otherwise I'm unhappy. Only if I have this object in my life, I'm happy, otherwise I'm unhappy. So he says that you have to understand that I am the Lord of all the whatever you are enjoying. And in fact, you already are of the nature of peace and bliss. And that's why when you sit in meditation and your mind becomes quiet, you experience that bliss, which is your true nature. But soon as you get out of your meditation seat and you start working in the world, then your mind starts, you know, I don't have this, I don't have that, I want this, I want that. And when only I get this, I'll be happy. But, you know, you can never be happy. That's why they say that one should have an attitude of contentment. It's not that you sit down and say, I'm not going to do anything. You know, I'm of the nature of happiness. So I don't need to go work, I don't need to go earn. Even if you want to, you won't, because our nature is to go out and acquire and possess. But they say that at the end of the day or the end of the month or at the end of the year, say, oh Lord, I'm so thankful for everything you have given me, and have an attitude of contentment, and also share with others. You know, if you have some extra, you can, by sharing, you are again showing your love and, you know, appreciation of the Lord. So that's why he says, I am the enjoyer and I am the Lord of all. And those who do not know me, chavantite. Why do they suffer? Why do they perish? Because they are looking for happiness in the world. And you can never get enough happiness. And then having worked, and then you got something. And then you enjoy it for a while. And then, you know, your life is over. Then you have to be born again. You know, maybe you did some good deeds, so you go to heaven. Or you did some bad deeds, you suffer heaven and hell. And then ultimately, you come back. So that is what they're saying. Again and again, you're going through the same cycle. It will only end when you reach Him, when you experience Him as me, as the oneness. And that's why all the scriptures say that those who do not come to me will perish. Like even in Christianity, they say those who do not come to Christ will perish. But people misunderstand that. I think I even mentioned that before. Because Christ is not a person. He's not a body. Christ is an institution. When we think about Christ, we think of Him as love, compassion, kindness, sharing. And Christ said, love thy neighbor as thyself. He did not say, love thy Christian neighbor. Your neighbor, it could be a Muslim or a Hindu or a Christian or even a non-believer. He may never even believe in Christ. But love them as yourself. But people misunderstand that, and then they come up with the idea that only those who go to this particular church and only those who accept Jesus Christ as their Savior will go to heaven, and others will suffer hell, not only hell, temporarily hell, but they say hell for eternity, that you will always suffer hell. In fact, I was reading a very beautiful article. I would recommend everybody to read that. It was in a week before in the Time magazine. It's actually the cover story, and it talks about hell. And there, this pastor, his name is Robert Bell. He preaches in a church in Grand Rapids in Michigan. And he actually used to have quotations. And he's an evangelist. You know, an evangelist are very firm believers that if you don't worship Christ, you will go to hell forever. And there he had a quotation from Mahatma Gandhi. And another person from his parish came and wrote, why are you quoting Mahatma Gandhi? He's in hell. Why? Because he did not believe in Christ. So he's in hell not only now, but he'll be in hell forever. And so that got this pastor thinking that is he so unforgiving that no matter how good a life you live, no matter how good a person you are, just because you do not accept Jesus Christ, and he was a very fundamental evangelist minister. He was actually very strong, came from that faith. And then it got him to thinking. And he actually changed his views, partly also when he was growing up. His father was a Supreme Court justice, very liberal, encouraged him to read and all that. So he was already a little liberal. And then that got him thinking that, how about if he talks in one place in the book, he said, how about if the missionary got a flat tire? You know, he was going to preach in one village and he got a flat tire and he couldn't reach that village. So all those people in that village will suffer in eternal hell because the missionary couldn't reach them. He says, it doesn't make sense. And he says, can God be so unforgiving that just because you only don't have... So then he wrote a book called Love Wins. And in that book, he has written that God can be approached with love. It doesn't matter. God is open to all. He says, all beings on the world, everybody can reach Him through love. And he got so much criticism, you know, because he is a very powerful minister. Actually, he has 7,000 people who attend his service every Sunday. In Michigan, there's a picture, a huge crowd, 7,000 people in that one church. And not only that, through internet and through TV and all, there are millions of people who now, you know, listen to him through Twitter and all those Facebook. So the point is that he's a very powerful minister and they actually want to expel him from the evangelic faith because this guy is, they said, because if people say Jesus Christ is not the way, then people will stop going to church. Then why will they even bother to worship Jesus? Because out of fear, they are trying to keep people that if you don't come to church and you don't accept. So the point is that all over the world, these ideas are changing. And in fact, one of the people who writes about that particular book, he says, you know, the neighborhood I live in, you know, my children play with Hindu children and Muslim children. And I see different churches and different ideas. And so the whole world, you know, this idea is arising that all paths lead to Him. You know, this narrow, and it's not only in Christianity, it is much, you know, definitely there in Islam, you know, that those who don't believe should be killed. even in Hinduism, there is so much fanaticism, you know, where people think that only Hinduism is the only way, or even in Hinduism, only this particular god or this particular path or this particular temple. So that is what they're saying, that people who think that just so that by not approaching Jesus Christ, you will suffer in hell, or not approaching. So the idea is that those who love me and approach me with total dedication, total love, they will reach me. And those who do not, who keep worshipping worldly things, you know, I'm invoking worldly things. I go to a politician, why? So I can get a contract and so I can become rich. Or I go to a businessman and say, you know, my products can you buy? So same thing. So I'm approaching a worldly power, you know, for I want more wealth, or I go to a teacher and, you know, I want to learn why so I can become very successful and get a good job. And so I am invoking the same grace of the Lord's, but I'm invoking them avidhi purvakam, with the wrong way. And when your efforts are only put in this direction, in acquiring, possessing, hoarding, you know, getting illegal, legal, doesn't matter, immoral, moral, ethical, unethical, then that is all going to be your result. So he says, those who again and again keep on just, you know, wanting more objects, emotions, thoughts, then that's all, your whole life is spent in that. Again, we are not saying that one should not work or take care of the family, but remember that my ultimate goal is this. And as I am working in the world, constantly remember him, every activity I'm doing. Just as when you see light, you remember the sun, right? Without the sun, I would not have any light. So constantly be grateful to the sun. When you wake up in the morning and you know, even my ability to see, the vision comes from the sun. So similarly, when you're doing all your activities, when you're cooking or working or doing whatever, invoke the Lord's grace, remember him, and be grateful to him. And, you know, I have said one time before, when you turn on the faucet, you know, how many times a day we turn on the faucet to brush the teeth, take a shower, wash our clothes, wash our dishes. Be thankful to the Lord for this beautiful, clean water he has given us, you know, in plenty. And that is one very simple way to remember him, you know. And so that is what they say, those who remember me all the time, and remember that I am the power behind everything you have, everything you do, then those reach me, and those who do not know me. And he said, tatvena, know the essence, the reality of me, as the power within me and the power outside, everything. That correct understanding. And ultimately, he and I are not separate, because everything is the Lord. The Lord alone is there. Every cell in my body is multiplying because of the Lord's presence. He is there. I am just a wave that has emerged from the ocean, and I'm going to merge back into the ocean. But I am that ocean. I am not separate. And with that understanding, when you work, then every activity of yours becomes service. Every activity of yours becomes a worship, becomes a prayer of the Lord. And those who remember me reach me. Those who don't will suffer and perish, and then come back to this world of suffering and problems and all that.
Advaita asked me, and said, what do you decide to go for prayer? And I already did the prayer. Did you do the same?
In the sixth chapter, Krishna says that Arjuna asks him the same question, that if I die before I reach you, will my life not be wasted, you know, just as a cloud that comes by and doesn't rain and goes away, the wind blows it, then the cloud's life is a waste. So my life will be a waste if I don't reach you. So Krishna says, no, don't worry. I put you in a household where your journey, he says, you will be born in the house of wise people who will then give you the right knowledge, so that, and that's why in a young age they have this knowledge. You know, Raman Maharishi and Shankaracharya, at very young age, they already were the realized souls. Because of the previous karmas, yes. So constantly remember him as the life principle. And we shall continue this next week. Thank you.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, मा कश्चित् दुःख भाग् भवेत्। ओम शांति शांति शांति। हरि ओम। श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम।